11 o'clock hour
begins now. Jesse, I know you want to get to Power Rankings Tuesday. So let's get to two of the exchanges yesterday that I had with Matt LaFleur and fold them into one. Because one, I was uncomfortable. And the other, I was maybe a little bit harsh. Or at least didn't think through the way I was phrasing my question as I asked it. But let's start with, since we were talking about first-round defensive players, let's talk a little bit about Jaire Alexander. Because Tausch, and you know, all kidding aside, we joke a lot about, you know, the grief I took at the offensive line end of the locker room when I'd go over there, and the DeForest Norskis and all the other jokes that I might have endured. But I am not one to question guys' toughness, guys' commitment, guys' willingness to play through injury. It is, to me, I am not qualified to do that. But given the circumstances on Sunday of going through a workout before the game, the team deciding that Jaire Alexander, and that Jaire Alexander himself decided that he was good enough to play, and they were going to have him on a pitch count, and he plays 10 snaps, and then he's done for the day. That is an issue, because now you're skating a man down the rest of the game when he pulls himself out. So I asked Matt LaFleur, Bill Huber asked first about Jaire, and the quote that Matt LaFleur delivered was that he felt like he couldn't play. That was what he said about Jaire. So that led me to ask this.
Matt, look, from our perspective, this is a tough subject to ask questions about because I don't ever want to question a guy's toughness or commitment or anything like that. When you do have him active, and you guys obviously went through a process to make the decision on whether to have him active, how problematic is it when he's not able to continue, and is it a...
Well, that's always a risk. I knew that going into it. So, you know, he was on a pitch count regardless, and those other guys were well aware that they were going to have to play. But we just felt like it was better to have him for a limited period. Now you just was hoping we could get through it and keep him on a pitch count and then pull him. But yeah, didn't work out that way.
How does that impact your thinking as you go through the course of the week now with him leading into Sunday?
Well, yeah, you better take into account every situation that you go through and try not to repeat that. If there's a question, probably err on the side of caution.
Tausch, what do you think? What did you learn from that?
What about the high side?
The high side of caution?
It means he's probably not playing this week. That's how I just read that.
And the idea, he didn't feel like he could play, so we pulled him, was what prompted me to ask the way I did. He didn't feel like he could play. So, again, I hate doing this because I don't, and look, I am more than willing, if Jaire is in the locker room this week, I am more than willing to ask him, hey, what the hell happened on Sunday? And try and get an understanding of where he's coming from. And I'm going to have to ask, look, last season, when you were dealing with the injuries you dealt with last year, you did make a comment to the effect of, you know, if I'm not 100%, I don't feel like I can be effective. You know, there's a lot of guys that play when they're not 100%. I struggle with that from the perspective of not wanting to ask those type of questions, but feeling like I kind of have to ask that type of question based on what he said in the past and based on what happened on Sunday. Is that fair or false?
So what happens is, in these cases, there's trust. And I talked about this yesterday. I know not everybody listens every day. There is a trust of the coaches trust you and you trust the training staff and the coaches too. You've earned that trust. And A, you're a good player, so they want you out there. If you're not a good player, they'll say, oh, you know what, take your time. Give yourself another couple of weeks. If
take
you're really good, they're
going to
say, yeah, let's get back. And when you're injured and you're not able to practice, it's really important to have open dialogue and make sure everybody's on the same page. And I think there have been too many instances, and we can go back to Bakhtiari last year when it was such a hot mess. I don't know if he's going to play. Ask him. You know, it just was uncomfortable. And and I don't know if that's just something Matt – I think Matt obviously just wants to leave it in the trainer's and the player's hands, and then, hey, if he could play, play. You do have these gray area situations where someone is able to, you know, do some stuff, go run and plant and do all the stuff that you do in a pre-game workout, but then you're unable to get out there and actually, you know, when you're going full speed and you're asking a tendon or a hamstring or any type of ligament, whatever it is, to hold up when you're really rolling, you don't always know the answer to it. And that's the tricky part of it. So when you trust and it doesn't work, you don't trust as much. And when it doesn't happen and you say, Jair, let you know, what are you feeling? And Jair said, I think I can do it. I feel good. It's not Jair's fault that it didn't happen and that it didn't work. But in the same respect, now I am not going to trust you the same because you're leaving us a man down and you're in street clothes like it's a preseason game, unable to play. That's a big deal. So, yeah, I get it. I understand it. There was a game I pulled my hamstring early in a New Orleans game down in the Dome, and I wasn't able to practice. It was not like a pop, but I felt something, and I was like, man, I'm going to have a hard time executing it. I just know I can walk, I can do certain things, but I am not going to be where I need to be to play in this game. And I think had I went back out there, I probably would have popped it more, and then I'm out three, four weeks. So I'm over on the bike, I'm trying to warm it up, and it just wasn't there. And then that next week, I couldn't practice Wednesday, Thursday. And I basically was talking to Flea and everybody else saying, you know, if I can go, let me go out Friday, and if I feel good, and Friday's jog through ask, I said, I'm going to be able to do it. And they trusted me, and the next week we played Carolina, I was able to play a full game. The last thing you want to do is say, trust me, and then you go out and you play five snaps, and then next thing you know, at least they got whoever was behind me at that point got reps and was able to get work that week so they'd feel good. But the last thing you want to do is get out there and not be able to play. So my guess is when he says he's going to err on the high side of caution or err on the side of caution, that means unless he's practicing at a really high level, he ain't going to play.
All right, so then the last question of the press conference yesterday. I felt like I handled the delicate subject reasonably okay with the Jair question, the way I phrased it.
I'd agree
with that. This one got past my sensor inside my brain that decides what is, you know, sometimes the longer questions include me saying something maybe I shouldn't have. And I think I'll let you be the judge, but I think that may have happened in this question about Christian Watson and his contributions.
You mentioned Christian about six times. How important and what's the value of him having the game? Like, he wasn't super involved earlier in the year. He didn't sulk. He didn't stay home. He handled it really well. What is the value of him doing what he did yesterday?
Yeah, he's a big part of this. And it was great to see him especially make some of those plays down the field. He's a guy that, he's got every measurable known to man in terms of the size, the speed, and it was great to see him make it sounded like those were easy plays that he was making. He was making tough contested catches. The one Jordan threw up to him, double coverage, you know, it just, for him to make those plays, I think that most importantly, it gives him the confidence that I think we've all had in him. And just to see him go out and do that, and I was really happy for him.
And you can read about Christian Watson in tomorrow's Wisconsin State Journal.
Sunday! Why is that not a Sunday article?
Because I think it merits being written about sooner, and I really like that answer from LaFleur. I didn't like the fact that I said he didn't stay home.
It's a little rude.
It was probably not necessary. Oh, good. I'm glad you missed it because I don't think LaFleur missed it.
Dobbs?
He wasn't.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you hear?
Well, why didn't you say he's not Dobbs in it? That would have been really fun.
You mentioned Christian about six times. How important and what's the value of him having the game? Like, he wasn't super involved earlier in the year. He didn't sulk. He didn't stay home. He handled it really well.
I didn't need to say that.
You know what? Now that you say that, there's a little horseradish on that. That's what you do. You're an instigator, though.
No,
you got a little Woody Woodpecker in you.
I swear it came out of my mouth, and I immediately wanted it back. And it was too late.
Yeah, jerk storish.
It was
jerk storish.
Fair. Now do I think that came out because in my heart of hearts, I feel like if anyone had reason to complain, because remember we went through when Romeo stayed home that he had played more snaps than any other wide receiver. Malik Willis
targets
had started two games.
Yeah. Yep.
He was second in targets, and I felt that was ridiculous, that he was unhappy with his role. And so I believe that kind of leaked out there because deserved...
Yeah, it's some subliminality.
Because if anyone had a right to be pissed off about their lack of opportunities, it was Christian Watson. It wasn't Romeo Dobbs. And I apologize...
I totally agree.
...to Romeo, and I should not have... It was subconscious. I did not... intend to say those words, but I said them anyway, and I'm sorry. But it was a good answer.
I was told by a part-time producer on this show that Christian Watson we don't need him. It's not a big deal. We don't need
part-time
Christian
producer.
He doesn't make that.
Was it Riley Yauch?
Yeah. No, a couple day a week producer. We call him.
Oh well, I never
show up on Fridays. I agree. You don't, Jesse. What is? Jesse, can you defend yourself on your, Christian Watson's not really that important, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, my God.
We don't win that game without Christian Watson.
I can't believe you stopped yourself with, I never, and left it open for him to zing you to that degree.
Christian Watson then had four catches. One was very significant, but they still should have lost the game if not for a fluke blocked field goal at the very end. So how significant really was he?
One was significant? Which one? The one where he adjusted on two people, or the one where he dove and fought the ground to make sure he caught it and got up and ran for 50 yards? Which one
Jaden
of those
Reed,
was impactful?
Jaden Reed could have made the same play if he needed to.
Oh, my God.
God, you're a hater.
Is Jaden Reed going to start getting unhappy?
Yeah, fair question. Fair question.
Well, what's the answer? No, great question. Like you always teach me, it doesn't matter about the question. Give me an answer.
No. I think the wide receiver group has been inoculated with the Romeo Dobbs situation that they are going to handle whatever dissatisfaction they have in a more constructive manner. Now, do I think he may have a conversation or two? I do. And I think it would be reasonable to do that.
Open door policy.
Yes.
I think Ed's open door policy and Mark Murphy's open door policy, everything else. Who has had more growth this season for the G&G?
Is this going to be one of those teases,
Christian,
where we don't get to the actual
Do you want me to tease out?
Well, then tell us about Johnson and Sons Paving when you get done teasing this.
No, I'm not going to tease out. I know how I know how sensitive you are to that.
Who's
get ready
had
for
more
spring.
Well, wait a minute. You never finished the question now.
You shut me off. You shut the sprinkler valve off. No, you shut it off.
Who's growth?
I have been so impressed with how Christian handled the Dobbs and was basically speaking for Romeo and bringing him back in when he was pouting, and how he handled it with getting less touches, and he's biding his time. I don't have any other ones to poke through the...
We're doing president's headlines now. Oh, okay.
So that he could pierce the lineup in order to get out there and make some big plays. I don't know. I don't have anything else. But he has just been – I don't know how you couldn't be impressed with how he carries himself, his leadership in a room that I think really needed it to step up, and he was the guy that did it. And then to go out and ball out, I just hope he continues to do it because I like him. I like him. I think he's an impactful guy. And I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if he's going to ever develop all of those intermediate route trees that we're all going to want. But obviously the Packers love him, and they love his skill set. And is there anybody that has grown more than Christian Watson? We'll talk about that next. After you get ready for spring, and do it now, call Johnson & Sons Paving to make sure no pavement hazards get worse over the winter. Potholes and cracked curbs and drainage issues if things are bad now. Call Johnson & Sons Paving to get it fixed. Schedule a free, no-obligation quote. Get that walkthrough of your pavement. They'll be able to see signs of asphalt pavement work needed by spotting fatigue, cracking, standing water, warping, buckling, sinking pavement, or more. Don't scare away your customers or tenants with bad curb appeal. Book now and save money later. JohnsonAndSonsPaving.com. I have one other guy that I would maybe put in that equation with Christian Watson and his growth. I'll tell you who I think, and Jason will let you know who he thinks, unless we want to do it tomorrow, and it'll be a full day tease. We'll do that next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Before we get to Tausch's tease,
no, I want to tease to tomorrow because your article's coming out tonight, right?
It is, yes. I'm going to write it after I call Ron Wolf and after I finish the radio show.
Where are you going to write it from?
Light scheduling night tonight. The girls both have gymnastics practice, but okay. no double dip. Volleyball season
so
hasn't
you
started
sitting
yet.
Are you sitting at Pit of Balls? And just type yeah. as like the have girls you, are jumping have, over you and stuff.
Wait a minute.
Under the have pommel you, horse.
Have you? You've been to one of Eleanor's practices, right? It's not at Chuck E. Cheese. There's not a
no,
ball.
But there's
pit.
Still.
There's these
it, gymnastics
foam cubes.
Places?
Yeah, it's not well, a ball
same,
pit.
It's the
no,
same
it's not
Blanken
the same.
Thing. It's kind of.
One's
is.
At like the McDonald's Playland, and the other
no,
one
they
is.
Both,
like,
they both serve the purpose of softening falls. Okay? Like,
okay.
Let's not act like it.
No, I don't sit in the pit. I usually sit in the bleachers.
How fun would it be if you're just sitting there in a pit and you're typing up your little article?
And girls
Sid's
are flying
jumping
over my
you.
Head. Yeah,
can we have a
yeah.
ball pit at the Wilde and Tausch Hall of Fame? That seems like a fun attraction.
We used to have a ball pit in our basement. I
He's
mean,
got
not
enough
like
in his basement.
Yeah,
I know
exactly.
that. He's got balance beams and pommel horses.
We do. We have the Wilde Invitational
and small ponies.
Coming up. No. Who thinks an immigrant's going to have a pony?
And a pool.
So then we'll save Tausch's tease that he just had to tease for tomorrow and mention
you
this.
You forced me to tease it. I wasn't going to tease.
Forced. Like, I could force you to do anything on this show.
What, does Jesse think he's Jim Halpert now? He's looking into the camera like he's Jim Blanken Halpert? You're not Jim Halpert.
I don't know what that reference is.
I think that's The Office.
You're Schrute. I think he's probably Schrute.
Oh, yeah.
Deal, right?
Jim, yeah. Office,
I've never
Jim.
Seen The Office. All right, so, Tausch, we'll get into the growth of Christian Watson
You've
tomorrow.
Never seen The Office, but you've watched Law & Order reruns of 500 times.
Yeah, and new episodes now. They're finishing up the fall season of the new Law & Order. Moira Turney as the lieutenant. Look, Joel
somebody
Douglas.
Had somebody had a great quote the other day comparing LeBron to Jordan, and they said, Jordan is like Seinfeld. You had a great iconic run that everybody talks about.
Uh-huh.
And LeBron is like Law & Order, where it's been really good. It's a great show.
25
But it's on
seasons.
Forever, and it right. kind of is just like, oh, yeah, you get kind of dulled by his greatness. I thought that was a really good little drop.
That was. You were very envious of whoever came up with that analogy because it's a really good one.
Well, no, it was Colin Cowherd, and in the same drop, he was talking about the importance of the Dolphins, Wilkins, being a good run stopper. Well, Wilkins hadn't been on the team for a year, and he's on IR for the Raiders, so I wasn't that impressed with all of his other stuff. And then he's got his shill on the show saying, well, I don't know if the inactive list has come out. It was at like noon. Yeah, there isn't an active list that comes out at noon, and the guy doesn't even play for the team that you're talking about.
So he's definitely inactive.
Yeah.
What a great analogy,
nonetheless.
This is not a New York Jets-centric program, but because it involved former Packers quarterback and future Packers Hall of Famer, wonder if he'll get his own induction all by himself or if he'll share the stage with someone else when he gets inducted. Joe Douglas, you know him as the general manager who the Gutenator, quote, bludgeoned with the trade that brought Aaron Rodgers to New York.
I'm not going to lie to you. I might have to amend that. That might be more than a bludgeoning now.
Has been fired. His contract was expiring at the end of the season, and yet they still fired him now.
Yeah. Not
so basically, the New
I'm
York.
I'm going to give him an F for that trade.
I don't know. Will McDonald has worked out great.
Not for him, he hasn't.
Tausch.
Yes, Jason.
The New York Jets went all in on acquiring Aaron Rodgers. And now the coach, the general manager, and the offensive coordinator that they hired, although he's still technically, the most amazing thing is he's still technically employed.
Dude's a survivor.
Nathaniel Hackett still works there.
Wow.
He's a survivor. He's still getting paid from Denver, I think, too.
What does this tell you about the great Aaron Rodgers experiment?
What do you think it tells you?
It tells me that it went worse than anyone could have possibly imagined.
Yeah, it was a colossal blank. Like, that's just how this played out. And I'm not going to sit here. And this is what always bothers me. I hear Nicole Briscoe and some of the other SportsCenter people almost kind of basking when people get fired. Or, oh, this guy's going to get fired, anything else. And then Johnny Ludwig gets laid off at a media company. Everybody acts like the world's coming. Dude, that bothers the heck out of me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to sit here and bask. The guy made some decisions. They didn't work. That's sports. You get fired. You get paid handsomely. I'm not going to sit here and dance on anybody because I get it, man. It sucks for them, for their families.
Right.
But the team stinks, and we all know. You sign up for this. You're going to get punched in the gut, and I don't know what coach said it, but every coach gets hired, and every coach ends up getting fired.
Right.
Including the GOAT. Bill J. Belichick. So this is part of the deal. Goody bludgeoned him. The offense just never came together. And this was pretty predictable to look at. Everybody that was saying the Jets were going to win the Super Bowl and all this other stuff, only way that was going to happen, they needed more than any team to get off to a fast start. And their schedule was not helpful for them to do that. I think Rodgers coming back from an Achilles, kind of starting off slow, but their team just isn't very good. And they have a bunch of mercenaries on that team. And what mercenaries do when times start getting tough, that's how this thing played out. And it's unfortunate, but that's where we're at. And for them, it kind of sucks that it wasn't that the Packers should have. And I got to give Goody should have pick swapped. It ended up with McDonald. And then he should have gotten it in 25 because the Jets are even stinkier. Who would have guessed that? Mm-hmm. With Rodgers playing, the Jets are stinkier than they were when Rodgers got injured. So the second-round pick would have even been that much better this year. So maybe I have to reevaluate my Gutenator. I'm not going to. Gutenator bludgeoned Joe Douglas, and now Joe Douglas is picking up all of his bandages and heading home.
It would appear that Joe Douglas's final transaction as general manager of the New York Jets was to promote Anders Carlson from the practice squad to the roster. So there you have it. That is the news out of New York. Does this affect your plans for your prize picks this week? Will the Jets get a bump from firing their general manager? I think they're off. I think their bye is this week.
Oh, their bye is this week?
I think so.
Yeah, it would. I'm actually going to go less on everything New York Jets the rest of the way. That is what I will do, and I'm not going to tell you what to do, but that's what I'm going to tell you what I do. But I did tell you to play Prize Picks because it's super fun. Over 10 million members, billions of dollars in awarded winnings. Prize Picks, it just makes daily fantasy sports fun, and it's simple. Pick more or less. That's it. Up to 2 to 6 players. I did it. I had a lot of success with the Mike Tyson, Anthony Davis, LeBron James. It was a fun little weekend for old T. Christian Watson. Read about him and Jason's story. Prize Picks puts their members first. All withdrawals fast, safe, and secure. And when your picks hit, you get your money in as fast as 15 minutes. You can win up to 100 times your money with as little as four correct picks. Download the app today. Use that code WI. $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. It's code WI. $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. Run
your
game.
We will get to Woe Nelly. We will postpone both Tausch's tease and our weekly look at the NFL power rankings from ESPN till tomorrow. Woe Nelly is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
He's got a Chevrolet that don't always run and the radio never turns down.
Just enough time for an abbreviated Woe Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rucker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Woe Nelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
All right, so just in case, if there's only time for one, you want to talk about...
I just sent you one. Mm. I sent you one that I think is gold. Absolute gold. But well, what are we doing here?
Do you want to talk about Mike McCarthy and the Dallas Cowboys and the stadium falling apart, just like their season?
Okay.
Or do you want to talk about my wager with Up North Joe on the Muskego-Muguanago
football game? Oh, you and Joe. You and Joe, for sure.
Wait, the stadium's falling apart?
Yeah, the roof fell in.
Yeah, there was a metal chunk of the... They opened the roof for the first time in like 2 years for the game last night against the Texans, and a chunk of the roof fell down onto the field before the game.
Luckily, no one was on the field, obviously.
There were some people out there. No one was injured. But yes,
that's not good.
Scary scene. There's some footage of it going around on social media. You can see it if you check for it.
Check out social media more often.
Quick question
seems like
for
a lot
you.
Going
if
on.
You
not
were
sure
if there.
It made it to blue sky yet.
Both of you guys are there. And if that piece of metal falls and it catches your arm and it rips off a layer of your skin, no other damage, and you don't have to get like a skin graft, but it gashes you, and you can then sue Jerry for $15 million, are you in?
Yes, I'm calling David Gruber, 414-276-6666. He's my first call before I'm even in the ambulance.
One call, that's all.
All right. Woe Nelly!
That's all we got time for.
No! All right, per Tausch's request. So every time Muskego and Muguanago have played football the last couple of years, Joe, who is a Muguanago alum, and I, who am a Muskego alum, we put a little friendly wager on the game. I mentioned last week I wore my Muguanago shirt in here because that was one time when Muguanago beat Muskego. I had to purchase a shirt from the school store of the opposing team and then wear it on the show at some point. So with Muskego winning, the wager we put in place last week, every year for the 4th of July, we're up north all together, up north neighbor Joe, and we go golfing around the 4th of July. So the wager we put in place was the loser had to purchase a British red coat uniform.
What?
And wear it for the 9 holes of the golf outing next 4th of July. And speak with a British accent throughout the entirety of the round.
You're talking like the Patriot with Mel Gibson?
Yep, like the old school Revolutionary War. British red coat.
Oh, my. How much does a red coat cost?
Surprisingly, not that much. Apparently, these costumes from, like, the Halloween stores or whatever are readily available. So, not too much of a financial excursion. What's your assessment, Tausch, of the wager, and any tips for how this should be best paid off?
Couldn't love it more.
Yes.
I absolutely love it. I think it's a great one. You're going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be hot. You're golfing. You have to talk in a British accent because, listen, man, it's so much better than, oh, here's $20 or whatever. This is memorable. It's an experience. We used to do this, and I always loved this, when I played slow pitch softball. If you made the last out, you would have to wear, whether it was a dress or a bonnet, or we'd bring something. Whoever did would have to go out in the outfield and wear that dress or whatever it was. My boy Craig would bring it, and that's what we'd wear. And we only played one tournament a summer, so that would be fun. I love those kind of things. It's fun. Everybody bonds against, and you try to not make that out. This is a great idea, Jesse. I commend you and Up North Joe for coming up with this plan.
I love it, too. I can't wait. The only disappointment is that Muskego won, so it's not you wearing the costume like that.
Well, the real question here is, Jesse, if Jason was golfing at this course, is he breaking 200?
Would he break 200 if he was wearing a British red coat? And how would it affect his swing?
Can I put a thing out there for next year?
Yes, of course.
You have to wear the opponent's helmet. I've seen this golf challenge where you have to golf in a football helmet, which sucks. Wearing a helmet sucks. And then you put it with heat and golfing in it. So I would say for next year's bet, think about that.
Good idea. Yeah, we'll have to secure a Guanago and Mosquito helmet.
You have a compulsion, no matter how good something is, to try and improve it.
Jason, they're not going to do the same bet every blanking year.
I understand, but you could have just congratulated
do it this
them
year.
On the great trip.
Jesse, I didn't say do it this year. I said in the future, this is another good idea to use. That's a big difference in saying this sucks. You should do this instead of.
Your improvements that you do on this show are not ever, well, sometimes they are. But most often it's not, this completely sucks. Here's how I would make it better. Usually you're making everything better. You would admit that you are compelled. There is something in your brain that you always want to make existing structures better. Playoffs, pick your own opponents. You are compelled to do this.
I would agree with that, but don't you find that ironic then? That while I do that, it irritates me when people don't eat protein muffins. You would think that I would say that. So it's a real conundrum.
It's a
balancing. It must be the balance.
If you don't want to eat protein muffins, I've got something way more delicious for you. And that, of course, is the perfect gift idea for the holidays. A custom holiday gift box filled with all your Racine Danish Kringle favorites. There's no wrapping needed. This is the best season of the year because they always unveil a new flavor for the holidays. This year, it's Eggnog Kringle, created to bring festive cheer to your celebrations, filled with a rich, creamy eggnog topping. Plus, there's a sweet icing and a sprinkle of cinnamon. It's perfect for sharing with loved ones this holiday season. So go to Kringle.com or make the call 800-4-DANISH. Racine Danish Kringles, it's not just a treat, it's a tradition. By the way, Sydney and Maddie and I working on our latest commercial for this year's jingle for your Kringle. Sid's been testing out different carols that she wants to use for her and Maddie's part of the commercial, so that's coming later this week. And of course, we'll have to come up with a video that tops our... Did our Elf reenactment inspire the Academy to do the headlines the way we've done them this year?
I have to ask, but I just find it interesting that you fought me tooth and nail when I sent you this script, and you said, my kids don't want to do this. But here they're ready to jingle and jangle and do all this. It's just, I find that very interesting.
Racine Danish Kringles sends them Kringles. You just sent them a script.
You're right. That's fair. Is it, if we get a Kringle, like there is a friend of ours sends us Kringle from Racine Danish Kringle every year. Is there a way that we could say, I love the cherry, the raspberry, I want to get a different one. Can I preemptively call and say, when they send this out, is that IPT?
No, I will. Get me the information. We will call all our right. friends at Racine Danish Kringles to find out. We'll wrap up the show. You're unbelievable. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Switch on the sky and the stars glow for you. Go see the world because it's all so brand new. Don't close your eyes because your future...
Our show is literally over, and yet we still need Tausch to tell us about Fortrea's latest studies.
Now you got to pay FCC fines for being late, and you need a little extra cash. Well, Fortrea's got you covered. Surgically sterile males and females of non-childbearing potential of ages 18 to 55. BMI of 18 to 32. One stay, 12 to 22 nights, a little variance. One follow-up, $11,716, all the way up to $18,786. And if you refer a friend, another $500 per qualified referral. Head over to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortrea, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, clinicaltrials.com.
Phil Savage, the new interim GM for the New York Jets. He should have drafted you when he had the chance. That's it for us today. We'll do it again tomorrow. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on Wisconsin On Demand.